Okay, let's bow our heads. If we need to use the recovery procedure, let's do so at this time that we might be in fellowship. Father, so we thank you for this privilege and opportunity to study your word and for the freedom that you provided for us here in Corpus Christi, Texas, USA, though limited. We now ask that God the Holy Spirit, our mentor, enlighten us regarding the message this morning. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. This is comforting. Proverbs 11:21. Assuredly, the evil man will not go unpunished, but the descendants of the righteous will be delivered. Another one is comforting, is Lamentations 3:22-23. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. Describing logistical grace. They are new every morning. God gives us one day at a time. Great is your faithfulness, end quote. Remember, Jeremiah wrote this in 586 B.C. after Jerusalem, the temple, and the southern kingdom were destroyed by the Chaldeans. Okay, we're in Revelation. Let me see, we left off talking about faith in Hebrews 11, dealing with the great Old Testament believers who were phenomenal in the advanced faith rest drill. Okay, we're at 89. I need to get an honor yet. Okay, we didn't quite. Okay, it's okay. Moving along here. Oh, there we go. Okay. We only did a few, and I added a few things, so I guess we'll pretty much start from the beginning here. Hebrews 11:1-40. It's amazing what you can learn just going through this and seeing what's there. It's kind of encouraging. The faith rest drill is that problem-solving device used by believers in all dispensations for carrying and using the shield of faith. But in the Old Testament, their spiritual life centered on the faith rest drill, where ours centers more on, as you notice, our adult spiritual life is related to love and happiness. Again, Hebrews 11:1-40. Verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Confident expectation becomes absolute confidence as one enters into the adult spiritual life through his advance. Absolute confidence of entering the eternal state in a resurrection body. And all these are looking forward to receiving a resurrection body. You'll see that as we go through. They were really emphasizing receiving a resurrection body with the attendant rewards. The evidence of things not being seen. Though not seen, they are reality to the advanced faith rest drill. Verse 2. For by means of this, the advanced faith rest drill, men of old became witnesses. Witnesses for what? See, usually we think about witnessing to the unbeliever in the world. And that's true. But the main witness, the main reason why the human race was created in the first place was to be witnesses in the angelic appeal trial. That's what's really important. Remember, human history is an appeal trial. And our primary purpose for existing as believers is to eventually be called forward as a great believer and to, as well, give testimony in the angelic appeal trial. And sometimes when you're giving testimony, Satan, as the defense attorney for the fallen angels, will be the one that he'll be asking you, he'll be interrogating you, as it were, as he did Job. It became witness. For the prosecution in the angelic appeal trial, even as we have this opportunity. We call that evidence testing, by the way. Verse 3. By faith we understand that the universe was designed by the speaking of God, God the Son, so that what is seen, the universe, has come into existence by things that are that has not come into existence by things that are seen, but by invisible things, namely the spoken word of God, the Son. Verse 4, by means of doctrine, resident in the soul, Abel had offered to God a greater sacrifice than Cain. You see, Abel's offering depicted the cross. Cain's offering represented his attempt to gain salvation through works. That's why it was rejected. He was religious, where Abel was a believer. Through which offering he received confirmation that he was righteous, executed God's plan regarding experiential righteousness. The God approving of his sacrifice, always had animal sacrifices, which was used to depict the cross. Always. From the fall of Adam, God sacrificed an animal, and then they believed in Jesus Christ. He explained the cross, and they believed in Jesus Christ, and he clothed them with the skins of the animal, representing the metaphor for clothing the believer with his righteousness. Now here's Abel offering animal sacrifice, another believer. And through the same doctrine, resident in his soul, while he was dead, he was killed by Cain, yet he still communicates. His testimony is in the Word of God. So we read about Abel today. He still gives testimony. Verse 5. By faith, the use of the advanced faith rest drill. Now, we're not always going to say that. Sometimes we just say by faith, but you have to understand through this entire chapter, we're talking about the advanced faith rest drill. Even in our spiritual life, we have the faith rest drill, but as you get into advanced, you'll always use the faith rest drill. But when you apply, for example, that Jesus Christ controls history by faith, that's the use of the advanced faith rest drill as well. And many in this congregation have applied it and mentioned it in their prayers. So a lot of the doctrines, like for example, related to loving God the Father, let's say when you apply the divine decree, that's related to loving God the Father. And you apply that by faith. You believe it, you apply it by faith. I do that when I face bureaucrats. They're wasting my definition of a bureaucrat, generally speaking. There's a few. You have to have some, but not all the ones we have. A bureaucrat is someone who knows how to waste your time and your money. So, and like one person said, the only way you could turn around the United States, first thing you got to do, if you want to turn around the United States, is get rid of 95% of the bureaucrats. The first day. That's a good start. They're suffocating us. By faith, the use of the advanced faith risk drill, Enoch was transferred with the result that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had transferred him from mortality to the interim body. And then God sent him to Hades, paradise, the first compartment of Hades. And there he joined Abel and others in his family that were already there. It wasn't called Abraham's bosom at that time, because Abraham wasn't there yet. When he arrived, they said, you're such a great believer, we changed paradise to Abraham's bosom. But we still refer to it as paradise as well. Again, remember, that's Hades. Sheol in the Old Testament, Hades is the Greek, and Sheol is the Hebrew for that compartment in the heart of the earth. And the heart of the earth is probably in the core. For before his transfer, understand, to paradise in the heart of the earth, he had obtained the testimony in the past, with the result that the deposition stood that he had pleased God, completed the spiritual life, participated as a witness in the angelic appeal trial. That's completing the spiritual life. See, we have in Moses was called a Jeshurun believer. Jeshurun means righteousness, and he had completed the experiential righteousness and had also taken evidence testing. But in the New Testament, if you become one of the greatest believers, then you're called pleroma, which means fullness, because you have received, you took evidence testing, and you received the fullness of blessing from God. So my pastor used to refer to those believers as pleroma believers. That's a notch higher than the reaching spiritual maturity. Reaching spiritual maturity, that's mature believers in the spiritual maturity, they form the pivot, as it were. We use that word pivot, which we almost non-existent today. We say it doesn't exist because if you don't have between 10 and 15% of the believers in the nation and as mature believers, we say basically it doesn't exist. We have a few, but not even close to 10 to 15%. We don't have a pivot. I don't think we even have 1%. We remember once before we calculated about how many great believers there are in the United States, it's not very much, because most Christians are not executing the spiritual life in the United States. Okay. So that's, now we're in, so Enoch pleased God because he completed the spiritual life, obviously took evidence testing. Verse 6, and without faith, remember, every time we say faith now, we're talking about referring to the advanced faith for Israel. But this is just a general principle here. It is impossible to please God. Now, in the context, this is explaining the spiritual life of the Old Testament. We have to use faith too, but here we're talking about the Old Testament. For he who comes to God by faith in Jesus Christ must believe that he is post-salvation fellowship of God, and he and is a rewarder of those who seek him. It just says in Greek, believe that he is. Just hoti estin, that he is. So again, referring to post-salvation fellowship with God, and is a rewarder of those who seek God. Repetition for your benefit. I've gone through this a number of times, so I don't need the repetition. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, having been warned by God about things not yet being seen, destruction of the earth by water, having been motivated by reverence, he had constructed an ark for the purpose of the deliverance of his household. And he was told to do so, but that's, the Lord said, if you want to deliver, a flood's coming, you better build an ark. Through which faith, he had condemned the world. The antediluvian population had rejected his gospel message. See, what people would, it took 120 years to build that ship. It's a big ship. It took him 120 years. He and his sons, and they had to chop down the trees, and they didn't have chainsaws, you know. And people would go by, and people would hear about Noah building their ship out in the middle of nowhere. He was a laughing stock. They were mocking him. But as they went by, he would explain to them and give them the gospel. He was the greatest evangelist of his era, and he was rejected in total. No one believed his gospel message. But God used that to condemn the anti, it says to condemn them, because they heard the gospel from him. In some cases, they probably didn't come to see what he's doing, but they heard the story. Everybody heard about Noah, because he's building for 120 years. And had become an heir of the righteousness. He had completed again the experiential righteous phase of God's plan for him, which always includes evidence testing. On the basis of faith, the advanced faith for Israel, verse 8, by faith, when Abraham was called, that's, he was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, at that time it was called the third dynasty of Ur. There was no Chaldeans at that time. Called, Abraham was called, obeyed by going out to a place, that's toward Canaan, he was supposed to head toward Canaan, which he was about to receive as an inheritance, the land of Canaan. And he went out not knowing where he's going. Just, you don't always have to have all the facts. When God says go, when you know it's God's will for you to go someplace, then you've got to go. When I decided, I thought it was time for me, I really believed it was God's will for me to leave Asia, that the point I left Asia, there'd be some type of ministry for me. So I just left, and it's a good thing I did, because right after we left, they started closing that place down. We got out of there just in time. We almost didn't get out of the airport. If it wasn't for my ability to navigate the airport, we'd have been stuck. Well, that's not the whole story. The rest of the story is, it was my wife's, twice she delivered me and got us, because we were in huge lines. We could have never gotten to our plane in time. And twice she figured out a way, you know, Asians, they know how to do these kind of things. She figured out a way to maneuver around those big long lines and got us to our plane. Otherwise, I, as an American, just staying very, you know, right behind the line, falling step by step, never would have made it. I had to tell you the truth. I was at a usurpa in the middle of the sermon here. Verse 8. By faith, when Abraham... Well, we did that. Well, he didn't know where he was going. By 9. By means of faith, he lived as an alien in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents. So he insisted in dwelling in tents. He never built a home. But keep in mind, this is not a teepee. You know, like the Arabs, he can build lavish tents. I mean, he had a lot. He was a very wealthy person. It obviously was a very lavish place, but it was made out of more like some kind of animal skin. But it was tents or whatever, or cloth. I don't know. But it was a nice tent. But it wasn't a solid structure because he was sitting waiting for the city and the home that God would build for him in the eternal state in resurrection body. So he dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, joint heirs of the same promise. Now he's going to mention the promise in resurrection body. Verse 10, for he himself kept waiting with anticipation for a city. This is the satellite city. Remember, this is taught in Revelation 21, 2 and 10. Remember that city, it hovers. It's a satellite city. 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles high. This is quite a city. And it's a New Jerusalem, right? So it must hover over the land that the Jews are going to receive. Well, they're going to have... Oh, this is an eternity. So this is going to be a new heavens and a new earth. So it's going to hover over the land where the Jews will live, even in the eternal state. So that's the New Jerusalem, and that's taught in Revelation 21. Having foundations whose designer and builder is God. Verse 11. So knowing that he would have this city and his beautiful home, he wanted to always remember that, so he refused to build a solid structure. Remember, the Lord left his disciples and said, he has to go because he can prepare for them a place, a home, a place to live. But we could just buy a piece of land and put up a kind of a huge tent. I'm talking to my wife, but I'm not. But in Corpus Christi, I don't think that'd be a very good idea. I don't know if you can air condition a tent or not. Verse 11, by faith, even Sarah herself received sexual ability for the deposit of seed, sperm, even though she was beyond the proper time of life for conception. She was in menopause. Because she concluded faithful the one who had promised. So she was using the advanced faith for Israel as well. She became a great believer. Verse 12, therefore also there was born from the source of the one man, Abraham, He was as good as dead, sexual death. And these same ones, Abraham and Sarah, having become sexually dead, in contrast to the promise of Genesis 15:5. Here's, just as many as the stars of heaven in number, so will your progeny be. And as the sand which is by the lip of the sea, by the shore of the sea, innumerable, so should his descendants be, the children of Israel. There's a lot of Jews. You know, certain nations have been wiped out in history. And the Jews have gone through a lot more than a lot of those nations, and they're gone. Where are the Assyrians today? You can't find anybody that says, I'm an Assyrian. Verse 13. All of these, mentioned in the Hall of Fame, understood, died on the basis of faith, the advanced faith for Israel. All of them. See, remember, this is, chapter 11 is of Hebrews is the Hall of Fame for the great believers of the Old Testament. It doesn't mention all the great believers, but it mentions a lot of them. Not having received the promises, rewards based on resurrection. See, that's going to keep emphasizing that. And at the end of this chapter, it's going to mention, they still have to wait for the church age, because the church age believers have to get their resurrection bodies first. They have to wait 7 more years. And they're waiting all this time. And God would not give them their resurrection bodies, even though ahead of time. See, first there has to be Lord Jesus Christ, that's protocol, and then the church age, and then the Old Testament believers. Verse 13, all of these mentioned in the Hall of Fame died on the basis of faith, the advanced faith for Israel, not having received the promises, rewards based on resurrection, but having seen them, what does that mean? Seeing the rewards in their souls in from a distance, see, they, after they get the resurrection body, looking into eternity because they live by principle, and having saluted and embraced them, their final faith rest drill as they departed from life. Just before they died, they saluted. Because they knew they'd get these things as it, using the advanced faith rest drill. They always had their, these great believers had their eyes on eternity future. And they knew they were looking forward to getting a resurrection body, and accompanying the resurrection body would be their great rewards. And in the case of Abraham, a city. Also having knowledge that they were strangers and transients on the earth. That's how they looked at it. Sometimes we get so serious about our time on the earth, we forget. We're transients. We're heavenly citizens. We're not really, we're citizens of the United States as well. But we can get too concerned about our time here. We're just transients, just moving through. Verse 14, for they, the patriarchs, who say such things as these, make it clear that they keep on striving for a heavenly home in the eternal state. Verse 15, and if, on the one hand, they had continued remembering that country from which they had originated, but they did not. The country from which they originated is talking about the third dynasty of Ur. But they, see, again, it says, if on the one hand they had continued remembering the country, contrary to fact, from which they had originated, but they did not, contrary to fact, second conditional sentence. Then they would have had opportunity to have circled back toward Ur of the Chaldees in reversionism. See, they weren't like the Exodus generation. Abraham and his heirs weren't like the Exodus generation and wanting to go back to their land. Because they weren't reversionistic. Verse 16. But on the other hand, as a matter of reality, they desire and strive for something better. That is, heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed of the same ones, the patriarchs, to be designated their God, for he prepared a city for the same ones. 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac as a sacrifice. Even he who had received the promise of the Abrahamic covenant offered up his uniquely born son. So what does it mean, uniquely born son? Through sexual revival of both Abraham and Sarah, and changing of their DNA. See, before, when Abraham, people don't realize that Abraham from a child to 99 was a Gentile. He wasn't Jewish. He didn't become Jewish until Jesus Christ revived him sexually and then changed up his DNA. They were Gentiles. Sarah and Abraham were Gentiles. From the third dynasty of Ur. So when Abraham was 99 and she was old as well, God changed up their, and revived them sexually and changed up their DNA and made the Jewish race. Isaac was the first Jew. They became Jews when their DNA was changed. So the first, again, Abraham's his first 99 years, he was a Gentile. He didn't become a Jew until 99. It was he, Abraham, to whom it was said, through Isaac your seed will be called. 19. He, Abraham, reasoned from the doctrine of resurrection that God was able to resuscitate even from the dead as a type, an illustration of the resurrection of Christ. See, when he was told to offer his son, he reasoned. And it tells you, he reasoned. He thought he would actually kill his son. But remember, before he went up the hill on the Mount Moriah, he said to his servants, we will return. Now, he was planning on sacrificing his son. But he had so much faith, but he thought God would, because God told him to sacrifice his son. He didn't think God would change, that was just a test. See, God doesn't believe in human sacrifice, but he didn't really know that at that time. And so, but he did know that he would return. He said, we will return. We'll come back. He told the servants, I and my son. So he reasoned that God would have to resuscitate his son because he was going to sacrifice his son. And he had so much faith, he believed that. No, we can. Okay, now you can. We can sacrifice Hannah, but God is not making you any promises. We better not do that, because she won't come back. This only worked one time in history, so you don't want to repeat this. We would hate to lose Hannah, because she's like your girls and your boys. They're one of a kind. You can't replace these kids. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, destined to be fulfilled in the Abrahamic covenant, the blessing that he blessed him. Of course, Esau wouldn't get that blessing. Verse 21, that in the Abrahamic covenant, that would only be for Isaac. That would only apply to Isaac. Verse 21, by faith Jacob, while he was in the process of dying, blessed each one of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his scepter, a sign of rulership. Verse 22. We're not trying to spend a lot of time with this. We're just going through and give you a rough idea. This is a quick run through Hebrews 11. This is the first time I've done it too. By faith, verse 22, by faith Joseph, while he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel, and gave orders concerning his bones. He said, when you leave, when God calls you out of this land, when Moses, he didn't know about Moses, but he said, you make sure you take my bones out. So they never buried him in the ground. He was in a mausoleum above ground. And he said, you take me out, you take that mausoleum out. When you start moving out, you make sure you take me out. I want to be buried with my ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so he knew, because he knew about the resurrection, because in the resurrection, you return back your interim bodies to where you died, get your resurrection bodies there. And he wanted to be with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when he's resurrecting. So he said, you take my bones out. 23, by faith, when Moses was born, now this is the faith of his parents, he was hidden for a period of 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful infant. And to them, this person must be destined for something really great. He was, usually don't call a boy beautiful. But when Moses was born, he was called beautiful. He was so attractive. And so they reasoned that God must have purposes for this kid. And they were not afraid of the edict from the king, the Pharaoh. So they hid him. Verse 24, by faith, when Moses had become great, he refused to be proclaimed the son, the heir apparent of Pharaoh's daughter. Because remember, the Pharaoh's daughter had Shephzib discovered Moses, and she adopted him. He could have become the next Pharaoh, and he would have. There was no one as great as him. Now, he declined it, and eventually Thutmose III became the pharaoh. And Thutmose III was a genius. But Moses was a superman genius. Next to Moses, he didn't seem like much. But he was a genius, too, and a great military man. And when Moses declined the office, then his mother, the one who adopted him, actually held it for a number of years, like 9 years, because she was waiting for Moses to come back, which really irritated Thutmose III. But eventually, there was so much pressure on her, she had to step down and let Thutmose III take over, because the military wanted him in power. Because he conquered a lot of land after that, Thutmose III did. See, Moses refused the throne of Egypt as pharaoh. He could have been the pharaoh. He would have been the greatest pharaoh that Egypt ever had if he had stayed. Rather, having chosen to endure maltreatment with the people of God, Jews in slavery, he chose it. He knew what he was getting into. Than to have or to enjoy the temporary pleasures of sin. Now, that doesn't mean he planned on doing a lot of sinning, but the temporary pleasures of sin, what does that refer to? Approbation, power, materialistic, and pleasure lust. He could have had they loved him in Egypt. The Jews didn't love him, but the Egyptians loved Moses. He'd had absolute power. He'd have been the pharaoh. He'd had approbation from almost everybody in Egypt. And all the material, everything you could have ever wanted, he could have had. Every pleasure, the best of everything, the best alcohol, the best everything. Servants all over the place. Verse 26, but he rejected all that. Therefore, he concluded that the reproach, the disgrace which accompanied his decision for the sake of Christ, was of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. So you have to realize, at that time, Egypt was the greatest nation in the world. Now, I don't know what was happening in Asia at that time, but I believe it was. Egypt was the greatest nation, even consider all the Asian countries. There's nothing like, no one like, at that time, there's no nation like Egypt. And he could have been the pharaoh, as it were, the king. For you see, he kept looking ahead to his reward, astral blessings and resurrection body in the eternal state. You got to have an eternal perspective. Verse 27, by faith, he, Moses, left Egypt behind, never looked back, not fearing the wrath of Pharaoh, Thutmose III. Some people thought he was afraid, because there's one verse that kind of implied that, but not fearing, maybe temporarily, but not fearing the wrath of the Pharaoh. He was a great leader. He was a great military man. At least twice he saved Egypt from being overrun by the Ethiopians. For you see, he persevered in the spiritual life under great pressure. So it means to persevere. Because he kept on seeing the invisible one. See, there's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's occupation with Christ. Even though the faith for Israel is kind of the center of their spiritual life, you could have the other ones as well. He kept on seeing the invisible one. By faith, he, Moses, executed the Passover, even the sprinkling of the blood. So they had the sprinkling of the blood, that means over the door. So that the one destroying the firstborn, the death angel, should not touch them, the Jewish believers and family. See, he had to use a faith for Israel for that. See, God said, do that, otherwise the firstborn would be killed. Well, he had to apply it. If he didn't believe it, he wouldn't have done it. Verse 28, by faith he, okay, did that. Okay, verse 29. By Moses' faith, they passed through the Red Sea. The Exodus generation passed through the Red Sea as through dry land. See, not their faith. Those Jews had no faith for Israel. The only believers that probably were just starting to use faith other than Moses was Joshua and Caleb. When they, the Egyptians, attempting to pursue, were drowned. Even the Pharaoh of the Exodus was drowned. See, remember, when Moses came back to Egypt, Amenhotep, the Thutmose III was already dead. It was another pharaoh, and his son died. And it was his second son that was finally the pharaoh. Amenhotep, second, I believe, that was the pharaoh at the time of the Exodus. He lost his firstborn, and he pursued Moses and the Exodus generation, and he died. Because as the verse explains, he went in too, he died. Verse 30. So that pharaoh, if you watch the Ten Commandments, it has a different pharaoh. They got their histories a little screwed up. But it was Amenhotep who was a pharaoh, because his father, Thutmose III, who grew up with Moses, was dead at the time Moses returned. So his son was on the throne, and his son lost his firstborn. Then when he went after Moses, then he died as well, trying to go across the Red Sea. Verse 30, by faith, understood of the great believers, the walls of Jericho fell, having been encircled for 7 days. For 7 days, the number of grace, they walked around. They were told to walk. That took faith to do that. Well, why would you walk around for 7 days? And the people in Jericho, can you imagine what people in Jericho saw those Jews marching around the city for 7 days? They had these huge walls. Can you even imagine? They must have been laughing their heads off. Standing on the walls, and the Jews, we've been told to march around Jerusalem. You know, that took faith for us, too. Otherwise, you're, in a sense, you're kind of making a fool out of yourself. And they were laughing. Look at those Jews. Kept for 7 days, all day, all morning, all afternoon, they're walking around, marching around, kept marching around Jericho. They did it for 7 days. Night and day. While being mocked. Okay, by faith again, the walls of Jericho fell, having been encircled for 7 days. Now, it doesn't say here, it just says fell in the Greek, but they actually fell outward. They actually fell outward. But that's the opposite. God deliberately did it that way. See, when God knocked the walls down, he knocked them outward rather than inward, because in a siege, the walls are pushed inward. You're laying siege to a city, you keep bombarding it, you're throwing, you have these machines that project these large rocks and stuff, and catapults, and you're catapulting big rocks against the walls, and you're knocking it inward. But the walls of Jericho, they've shown that, they fell outward. Just as some evidence that Jericho was knocked down by God, was destroyed, the walls were knocked over by God. And then they walked in. Sometimes you've got to think about these. It had to be very humorous to the residents of the city until the walls fell down. It was a joke. They said, why don't they lay siege? They're not laying siege. They're marching around the city like a bunch of idiots. But the joke was on them after 7 days. When the walls fell down, that must have been a shock. You know, a lot of them were probably in such a state of shock they couldn't even fight. And they weren't ready. Why would you get ready? The army that's supposed to be attacking the city is marching round and round and round your city day all day and next day and next day. And how long are these guys going to do this? I mean, I wish I could have been there as a fly just to watch that on the walls. Then I would have fallen off before they fell down. Verse 31, by faith, Rahab the prostitute. Now, she wasn't a prostitute at that time. She was a prostitute before she became a believer. By the time she met the Jewish spies, she was no longer a prostitute. That's why it mentions her business. She was in a rope business. And by this time, she's mentioned in the Hall of Fame. She's one of the greatest women of all of human history. So you know what that implies. Ladies, if you want to be great, What can I say? That doesn't imply that at all. But she became great because she just concentrated on learning Bible doctrine because she had such a horrible life at first. Then once she became a believer, she was no longer interested in men. She's seen all these horrible men all those years. All the men that she dealt with had no integrity, no virtue, no consideration, no thoughtfulness, totally arrogant, selfish, self-centered men. That she was through with that. She was until she met, and then she married one of the spies. Until she met a man with great integrity. By faith, she's known as Rahab the prostitute, but she was no longer a prostitute. Did not perish with the unbelievers, having welcomed the scout patrol with peace. She wanted to help them. This peace here means, Irene means more, with providing things for them. And, well, I actually helped them. She didn't turn them in. She was risking her life. If you remember the story, she had to lie to the city officials. See, there's times when lying is the right thing to do. When the Nazis were seeking the Jews, and they came to your house and you had Jews in a closet, they said, are there any Jews here? And you say, well, I can't lie. Yes, there's some in my closet. That's the wrong thing to do. That would have been wrong. That would have been sinful. And a lot of people lied to the Nazis to protect the Jews, and that was the right thing to do at that time. She lied to the city officials. She had to. Otherwise, they had to kill those spies. So, lying to evil people sometimes is necessary. 32. And what more can I say? See, we don't know who the writer of Hebrews is. He said, what more can I say? For there is not enough time for me to communicate about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and about both David and Samuel. See, these are all great heroes. And all the prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, these are all great. He's going to mention Jeremiah in passing. Verse 33. Who themselves through faith conquered kingdoms, like David, and accomplished righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouth of lions, a reference to Daniel. 34, neutralized the power of fire, a reference to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Escaped the edge of the sword, from helplessness, were made strong. In other words, they knew they needed, they were grace-oriented, were made strong, being courageous in battle, putting to flight the invading armies. Verse 35, women, two great widows, each with an only son, receive their dead by means of resuscitation. And others. See, who are those two? See, Elijah resuscitated a widow's son, and Jesus resuscitated a widow's son. That's still the Old Testament. See, two women who are widows had sons resuscitated. One, again, by Elijah, and one by Jesus Christ. Some were tortured. Other women were tortured, not having accepted their release. See, they were saying, if you'll do this or do that, you'll betray your country or betray the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah Elohim, we'll release you. See, it says here, not having accepted their release. They said no. What does that mean? By betrayal of loved ones or country. They refused. So they were tortured to death. They were great believers. In order that they might obtain something better after resurrection. See, they had their eyes after resurrection. All these great believers focused on the resurrection, getting a resurrection body, and with a resurrection body, all your eternal rewards in a resurrection body. And they wanted, they knew they'd get the resurrection body, but they're talking about something better. That's the rewards that would accompany the resurrection. They wanted their eternal rewards. Well, you're not going to get your eternal rewards if you betray your country and you betray the Lord Jesus Christ under torture. So they reason a little suffering now, and there will never be ever any suffering again in the eternal state, and then my rewards will be for all eternity. Or I can be a peasant and fall apart under pressure. And others, great believers, experience ridicule and floggings. See, that's not a reference to Paul because that's New Testament. In addition to the above, shackles and incarceration. Many were in prison. 37. They were stoned to death. Here we got one example. Zechariah in 2 Chronicles 24, verses 20 and 21. Zechariah. This is not the... This is the Zechariah that was... it's a different. There's several Zecharias. It's not the one we usually refer to. This is not the writer of Scripture. See, they were stoned to death. Zechariah in 2 Chronicles 24. His stoning is mentioned. They were sawn in two. Now, according to extra-biblical source, to an extra-biblical source, this would be a reference to Isaiah. Remember that Isaiah bailed out... Who was the great king? I can't think of his name right now. Hezekiah. The great king Hezekiah. Remember, Hezekiah was supposed to die the sin of the death, but through Isaiah... That was removed. So Isaiah lived long enough to have a son called Manasseh. Now, if it weren't for Isaiah, there wouldn't have been no Manasseh. So how did Manasseh repay Isaiah? Had him sawed in two. Just because you help someone doesn't mean they're going to remember you. And it was Manasseh that was, according to extra-biblical records, had Isaiah sawed in two, put him in a box, and I guess sawed through the box like you see these magicians. This was Ashley cutting songs through someone. Others were tested regarding their spiritual life, like Job, for example. See, others were tested. This is evidence testing. They all were tested, but said, Korah could be testing in other ways. I'm not sure here. I just put down Job here. They were put to death by the sword. Now, one of those was the governor, Gedaliah. He was put to death by the sword. When, after the southern kingdom fell, Nebuchadnezzar allowed a remnant to stay in the land. And he knew that Gedaliah was a man of great integrity, so he made Gedaliah the governor of that remnant. Eventually, he was murdered by a group of men. And then they fled to Egypt. And they took Jeremiah with them. But he was by the sword. They killed him with a sword. They wandered around, rejected and persecuted, in sheepskins and goatskins, in reference to rough, uncomfortable clothing, being destitute, suffering, harassment, being oppressed. Talking about others that they're not mentioning. Other great believers of the Old Testament. 38, men of whom the world was not worthy of. The world of unbelievers, they weren't worthy. These are great men. They wandered over deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground, earth. Some had to live in holes in the ground. They did all that because they had their eyes on getting a resurrection body, and they wanted the rewards to accompany those resurrection bodies, eternal rewards. And they didn't want to, like one man said, why should I be, he said, the Lord's been faithful for me and my Lord for, oh, it was 30-some years. He said, and you want me to deny my Lord? He said, no way. So they, remember that was the pastor took over a church pastored by John, and he was put in a brass bull, and the brass bull was heated up, and he was just cooked. That's kind of painful. The heat of brass, and you know, it starts getting real hot, and you're inside the brass bowl, and your skin starts sticking to the brass. That's how he died. And he didn't scream either. He didn't fall apart. That was Antipas, if you recall. Verse 39. And all these, referring to these great believers from Hebrews 11, 4 through 38, Old Testament representative heroes, having become witnesses in the appeal trial of the angelic conflict. Here it mentions it. See, we're not talking about their evangelism, having become witnesses. A reference to the appeal trial of the angelic conflict. Through faith, the advanced faith for Israel. Have not received the promise. What is that referring to? Everything in the faith for Israel ultimately focused on being brought to completion through receiving a resurrection body and receiving all the eternal rewards that would accompany that resurrection body. Because they knew all believers would get a resurrection body. So they weren't just, they were looking forward to the resurrection body. Looking forward to the resurrection body, it was the rewards for being, for executing the spiritual life. Now, rewards don't really motivate you, but because they also knew that the rewards, if they're rewarded, that glorifies God. Because the strongest motivation in life is not rewards. It's love. If you love God, you don't want to let him down. Verse 40. God, having foreseen, this is a reference to God's omniscience in the grammatical form of a genitive absolute. This is, in a genitive absolute, makes it much stronger. And what is a genitive absolute? The subject's in the genitive and the verb's in the genitive, in a participial form. In the genitive. So it's not grammatically related to the rest of the sentence. Roughly speaking, that's a genitive absolute. And having foreseen was put in the genitive absolute. It makes it jump out. Something better for us. Now notice, God having foreseen, I'll skip the explanation, something better for us. That's the church age. Something better. Ours is better than their spiritual life, emphasizing the advanced phase for Israel. Something better. The unique spiritual life of the church age. So that apart from us, Christian in the church age, they, Old Testament believers, should not be brought to completion in resurrection bodies until the church age is completed. They have to wait for us. Well, I thought I'd get a little further than this, but this is as far as we're going to get this morning. Okay, we'll stop right there. Let's bow our heads. Father, so we thank you for this wonderful chapter, Hebrews 11, and all the implications, and tells us a wonderful story. We appreciate it. We ask that God, the Holy Spirit, will help us to remember this and ponder it and motivate us to complete our spiritual life as they completed theirs. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.